right, yeah. We'll be in touch.
Yes, welcome to the debrief. With a comedy legend here, Chris Wainhouse, ladies and gentlemen. He's right here, I'm in my car. Had to pick him up from the prestigious Albury Airport and drive to the gig. How are you, Wayne? Wainhouse? I don't know if they call you Chris or Wainhouse.
Yeah, well, people call me both, but mostly Wainhouse is what I get.
Yeah, it is. It's like Milhouse, isn't it, from the Simpsons?
I think so. The house always wins.
And you've just come off a cruise.
I just came off a carnival cruise with John Cruikshank, who's very good.
And then you caught the plane to Albury. We did the gig together. You were very funny.
I got off at 5. I caught my plane at 3. So I stayed at the airport for that long, and then...
What did you do in Albury Airport for 4 hours?
Well, then, yeah, I stayed 4 hours in Albury. Thankfully, they were all open. I was thinking they were going to close, so I just plugged my laptop in, charged my phone, and...
Just started... Kick back.
Yeah, started doing a bit of work. And I'd just been on a cruise, so I'd been internet-starved.
Without the internet.
So I could catch up on the news and all that sort of stuff. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
And drank, maybe...
Was there a bar there?
There was a bar there.
Because sometimes at those small regional airports, there's hardly a bar. Well, they do everything, don't they? They have newspapers, a bit of alcohol, some snacks.
Yep.
A couple of sandwiches.
Not a great selection.
No, I couldn't imagine.
The sandwiches there are the same as the ones at... Like, that's what I hate about airports, is if you go to Sydney, each little place has the same prepackaged food as the one before it. You know, there's not a great selection. They're all the same...
It's true.
Donuts wrapped in the same plastic.
It's absolutely true. There's not a great variety in airports.
No, it's the same food everywhere.
The food doesn't appear to be fresh to me.
No, it's all pre-packaged. There's no one making sandwiches.
No.
I'd go there.
I love a made sandwich in front of you.
Same. And
I absolutely love
brown bread.
I love brown bread too. Mate, we should have lunch. I love a good bakery that does a good chicken and salad roll on a brown roll.
Yeah.
That's what I live for. I live for that.
Did you get mayonnaise on it?
No.
Did you put onion?
Yeah, I love onion.
Chicken, onion and mayonnaise. You've got to do that toasted. Ooh. Oh, man, it'll change your world.
I like all the salads, you know. You know, I'm very healthy. I'm the picture of health. I always try to remember, because how long have you been doing comedy? 20 years?
Yes.
20 years?
Yes.
So you would have started... I'm trying to remember when I met you. I always try to remember on this podcast when I met you, and you were... Sydney, but Queensland or Sydney?
Oh, man, I don't know. That depends.
Where did you start comedy?
I started comedy in Brisbane, Queensland.
Yeah.
But I would tour a lot. That was the thing with Brisbane back then. There was only sit-downs, so...
Yes, was that in the old location?
Yes.
That was great.
That was in Dockside. Best room in the country.
Great.
I think I truly think it's the best room I've ever played.
It was a great room.
It's an old jazz room. The stage wasn't too high. It was,
is that what it was?
Yeah.
Is that still there, that room, or is that gone?
Yeah, it's still there.
Does anyone ever use it for anything? Or?
Yeah, Dave Brown took it over.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
ran it into the ground because he got his own room, but he didn't want anyone playing there again. But if you went to Brisbane now, even though it hasn't been going for a decade, if you went to Brisbane, you go, hey, where do you get comedy? People would still go Dockside.
Dockside, yeah.
Like if you bought
I used to go up and headline. That was the first place I ever headlined. When I'd been doing comedy for like 5-10 years. I used to go to Brisbane because it was easy, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a few shockers, but generally it was pretty good.
If you had money and you bought that and you put out like ads going comedy Dockside,
back at Dockside.
Well, not even back. People would assume it never left.
Yes.
And you would just get it.
Oh, God. And so you started there. And
I
then
started
you
there.
Did Raw. Did you win Raw? Or?
I won Raw.
What year was that?
I was 2000 or 99?
Right, so that's when I would have met you, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
Because I remember you did is that the routine where you said you got so stoned you smoked the hash key on the telephone?
Yes. I wanted to get stoned so bad I'd end up smoking the hash key off my telephone.
Yeah. I remember word spread quick about you. There's this guy with really good jokes.
Yeah, well, I won that 6 months into the business.
Yeah, right. Well, that's how it should happen. I mean, it's a bit wrong to get someone who's been doing comedy for 3 years to win Raw, I reckon.
There's like, people that enter it like
several times.
Years.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Who else was in that final that you won?
There was Undo.
Oh, wow.
Mick Meredith.
Mick Meredith.
Gavin Baskerville.
Wow.
Who's that girl? She does radio. She's, I can't think of her name right now. There was quite a, who's the guy who runs Adelaide Comedy?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his name either.
Him.
Oh, he was in it as well.
Yeah, he was in it.
But he doesn't do comedy anymore.
He doesn't do comedy anymore.
No.
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 He got there.
Yeah. And then did you go to England or Edinburgh?
I went to Edinburgh.
Yeah, right.
There was another competition there, but I didn't.
So you think you're funny.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Oh, why not?
Because that was my thing. It's like once I'd won an amateur competition, it was time to go pro.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
I was like, no, I did that. And I always told myself, no, now I'm going to become a real comedian. And I didn't want to spend another year doing amateur comps.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to shake that. That was the worst part about winning that was, I almost wish I'd come second and no one knew who I was so I could just be this dude coming through.
Yeah, right.
But instead I was the guy who won Triple J for so long.
Yeah, right. Did it kick on to other work though?
No.
No?
I got offered a role when The Man Show came out when they were coming to Australia.
Yeah,
they wanted
right.
me to be one of the hosts on that. And I watched it and I just wasn't interested in it. It was like, oh,
yeah,
God,
right.
That's a footy show.
What'd you do? So what age were you when you got into comedy?
28.
So what did you do before that?
I did sales. I did a bit of everything.
That's right.
You know, sales. I was a concreter.
Concreter. That's a pretty tough job. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure someone told me this. Did you used to sell peepholes door to door?
Yeah. That was my own business.
And so what did you knock on a door and you go...
How that happened is because I was always out for a bit of dollars. You know, I was always a bit of a scammer when I was young. And I was a skater. And I saw these things in a hardware shop. And I go, hey, what's this? And he's like, oh, that's a peephole.
For a front door?
Yeah, for a front door. And I go, oh, okay. And I'm looking through them. I go, how do you put them in? He goes, you just get a drill. I went, how much are they? And they were like 50 cents.
Wow.
I was like, oh, you're kidding me. So I bought a box of them. And I bought a power drill. And went around...
Knocking on people's doors. And what was the spiel that you'd
well,
say?
Well, at first it was hard, like, because it was, like, some people had them and no one... But I realised really quickly to go to the old areas.
Yeah, right.
Because it was, like, years of... It was the time of home invasions.
Yes.
So they were always paranoid, so I'd bang on the door as hard as I could. And they'd open the door, and right. I'd go, oh, open the door just anyone, do you? And just as they're about to panic... I'd pull out my peephole and go, hey, look, I can make that never happen. And this is your first line of defence against a home invasion. $15 here and now.
Only 15?
15. Wow, that cost me 50 cents.
And you drill it in and put it in for them?
I drill it in, put it in for them. First one, I blew it out. I didn't know how to drill. So I drilled it in because I gave him a Nikko. I had a Nikko. I go, you mark, where do you want it?
Yeah, so I made sure
they chose.
Yes.
And some people get out measurements and things, but most people go, oh, about here, it'd be good. And I just pushed it out, the whole back end just sprayed out. And I had to drill back in from that way. And I figured out how to do it.
Yeah. There's different sorts of doors, though. That's a problem with doors.
Well, yeah, the glass ones were hard.
You didn't do that. Special drill for that. How long did you do that for?
Probably bought maybe 3 boxes of peepholes.
So that was a couple of months' work.
Yeah.
Did you sell wine? Were you one of the guys selling wine?
Yeah, I sold wine in Sydney.
A few comedians doing that, weren't there, for a while?
Well, I did that because my wife had... I was an established comic at that stage, but my wife had just finished a doctorate in aerospace, and I was going to London for a couple of months a year, every year.
Yeah.
And then she was like, Chris, if I don't... I've got to get a job, but... Because we'd just had a kid, and she was like, but you're going to have to stay back and look after the kids. We can't tour, because I'm not going to be able to get time off work. I'm going to be on probation. I've got to get a foot in
World of aerospace.
The world of aerospace. And I went, all right. So I took like 3 years off, thinking I'd bounce back in. That didn't happen.
Oh, so you didn't do any comedy in those 3 years?
Well, I did, but I only did local comedy.
Yeah, you did Sydney stuff.
I was in Sydney at the time, so I just did Sydney. But she got a foot in. And she made a name for herself, and now she's building top secret submarines for the government.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah.
And so you sold wine at that stage?
There was a time, that I just just had this. Yeah, I was maybe 3 hours a day. I'd go. Yeah. That's where I met Ray Badger. Ray Badger got me the job. We'd just go and drink wine. We'd drink wine and just play.
He's
table
a funny
tennis.
Guy.
He's very good.
He's in London, isn't he, or somewhere?
He's in Sydney at the moment, but yeah, he's in London. They kind of joggle between the two. His wife Charlotte is a teacher.
Yeah, right.
And
so I remember seeing him on TV. I never heard, because you know the Melbourne and Sydney thing is that these days we used to travel a bit between both cities and do the gigs, but these days it's not worth it to come to Melbourne.
No.
And it's not worth it to go to Sydney. So you never see.
Yeah.
So there's guys headlining up there that I've never heard of.
Yeah,
but he's one I saw on Foxtel. I thought he was really funny.
I think you picked it. It's just not lucrative enough anymore.
No, you're better off going to Queensland or Perth or something like that.
Yeah.
But he I saw him on TV and I thought he was very funny, Ray Badger.
He is very funny.
Funny
yeah,
bones.
Yeah, the big controversy, of course.
Ah,
the rape joke.
In Melbourne. Yeah, and that haunted him for years.
Oh, it killed him. And it wasn't a joke about rape. It was really a joke about stereotypes.
It was about a joke about what he looks like.
Yes. And
because
he's
Lebanese.
And straight after the... riots and...
Yeah, it's a very Sydney joke, though.
Yes, it is a very Sydney joke.
And so up in Sydney, the Lebanese...
Kills
had to, yeah, he said sometimes he would do it and he'd have to wait 3 minutes for people to stop laughing.
Yeah, it was very good.
And then once in Melbourne, some lady
crawled under a chair.
Yeah, yeah, and got offended, and then he
lost his shit.
Right. Well, he's in London while Sydney.
But he's very good.
Ray Badger. Yeah, yeah. So when you started, all those guys would have, like Gary Eck would have started, Akmal.
Gary Eck and Akmal and...
Carl Barron.
Carl Barron was well and truly on the spot.
Kitty,
line.
Julia.
Kitty was kicking it. Anthony Murr was big.
Anthony Murr was good. I remember him. Yeah.
And
Peter Green.
Peter Green was up.
He's come on stage with a bottle tied to his leg. Remember that?
Mark My Words. All
Mark
those
My
guys.
Words. Yes. They're all the Sydney comics from the 20 years
Peter
ago.
Fox.
Peter Fox. He moved to Melbourne. Yeah, he got on Steve Izard a lot, but a lot of his stuff was borrowed. So it was like
right.
the best
oh,
of.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I said to my dad,
"Yes,
am I adopted Ling Chow?" You know, which is a Gabe Kaplan joke.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know that because I just got into comedy thinking, fuck this guy.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah, he had a great act.
Yeah.
He used to smoke on stage and he looked cool. He looked like a young Columbo.
We said Peter Fox was like that when I. Oh, no, Peter Gross. He was
the
king of Brisbane. Well, poor Brash was the king of Brisbane.
I remember Brash. Brash is still around, yeah.
But Peter Gross was... I'd just watch him going, my God, these are such great bits. And then Foxtel came out and we...
you saw all the bits.
And we were like, okay.
Oh, that's Bill Hicks. Jerry Seinfeld.
And it was. I didn't know comedy.
No. Why did you get into comedy?
Well, a friend of mine was doing it. I was working with him selling Foxtel, of all things, and he goes, I got a gig tonight. And
who was that?
Muzo. Benny. I don't know.
I don't know.
Ben Little, his name was.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, because I was a Muzo. I'm thinking, oh, I'll go and watch it. So I turned up and...
You were a Muzo?
I was a Muzo.
What
as
sort
a musician.
Of... What sort of... I've never seen you bring an instrument on stage.
Oh, I never would.
What sort of musician are you?
I play lots of musical instruments. I play guitar, bass, mostly guitar and bass.
Yeah, they're your prime.
Piano.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You should do that in a show one day.
Oh, no. See, my dad, when I met my dad, I met my dad when I was 21.
No, my God, it's a bit weird to say when you met your dad.
Yeah, I met him when I was 21. He was an old session muso. He played with lots of big bands.
How did you meet? So he wasn't around when you were a kid?
He wasn't around when I was a kid. I tracked him down, and he...
Was he happy to see you?
Yeah, well, he was in Sydney, and so I went down to see him, but he was having a party, so I didn't go in. I thought that'd be a bit weird. So I went back and wrote him a letter, and within a week, he drove up to Brisbane and just got a place there. And
yeah, right.
And taught me guitar.
And oh, wow.
We used to... He's a big old pot smoker, so... And I was into it at the time too. So we'd smoke a joint and he'd get gigs at these little cafes.
Yeah, right. Just, what sort of musician was he?
He was blues and jazz, yeah, is what right. he was. But he came from rock and roll back in the sort of 60s
wow.
and 70s rock and roll. And so we would just, he'd blow a spliff and jump on his piano, and I'd get on the guitar, and we'd do Summertime, like just forever. They'd just keep changing it, and I'd just follow him. And
yeah, wow.
We'd do that and make a couple of bucks. So anyway, I loved music, and then a friend where I was working said he had a gig, and I went to watch because I was up for it. And this guy came, it was Paul Brash, who came onto stage. And I was thinking, oh, it's a little stage, and they still haven't got any instruments set up. I'm
yeah,
wondering if it's going to be like a Talking Heads, yeah. you know, how you bring it out one at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this MC came out, and I was going, fuck, he's funny. This guy is so funny. And I was just laughing and laughing, and then realised it was only until they brought the first act on that I just thought he was really emceeing the music.
Yeah, right.
And only the first act that he didn't have an instrument either.
Yeah.
And this is comedy. I didn't even know there was a scene. And then my friend jumped up, and oh my god, he was awful.
Awful.
Awful. And I thought, fuck, I could do this.
Yeah, yeah, I could do better
Which
than that.
Which is what, this is my problem with bad comics too. It's why I think we should be heavy on bad comics. It's because people look at bad comics and they think, oh, I could do that. And then they do. And then we've got another bad comic on the scene.
Yeah.
But
most drop out, but it can take 5 years for them to drop out.
But you look at some people, when you look at some comics and you think, oh, fuck, I could never do that. That guy belongs on stage, or that girl belongs on stage. And you look at them and go, oh my god, how do they do it? It's got to be impressive. But anyway, so I saw that and went, okay. And then I got up, and then I got so addicted to it. I just loved it. I loved the idea of it. But I came out with, my first spot had Stephen Wright gags. That's what I thought it was.
I thought it was cover comedy.
I thought exactly that. And then Paul came up and says, but I had a bits of my own stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, the stuff you're writing is really good. Why? You don't need to do that old stuff.
You don't need to steal stuff.
And he said steal. I was like, what do you mean steal? Like, this is...
It's a tribute to them, guys.
Yeah.
I'm making
and
Stephen
then I realised
Wright...
and then never went, and I'm like, okay, well, then that's what I do if I want to be in this.
And did you start off doing mainly one-liners?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
deadpan,
right.
Deadpan, as most comics do, because you don't know who you are.
No.
It's hard to...
But you're not anymore. Like, tonight you were telling stories.
Yeah.
There's some sort of storytelling element to it. Definitely.
Yes.
And a lot of opinion.
Yeah, I'm full of opinion. I have opinions. And
oh,
they can
yeah.
be wrong. Like, I can swear black and blue my opinion's right, and tomorrow... I'd be going, no, that's
God.
Not that. I don't know what I was thinking.
And you're doing a show in the Comedy Festival in Melbourne coming up.
I'm doing a show.
And it's called...
Judged.
Judged, because you've been in jail.
I went to prison.
How long for?
For 3 months.
Oh.
A maximum security unit in...
Where? Bogger in Road?
Queensland.
No.
No, not Bogger Road. That's closed down. It was Woodford. It's out at...
Where the folk festival is.
Where the folk festival is.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a Supermax out there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, but why Supermax? I mean, if you're only in for 3 months.
Well, because it was a pub fight.
Oh,
so it's a violent crime.
Right,
and,
okay.
And I wasn't in Supermax, but I was in... It's maximum security, and there is a Supermax division
in there,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, with some hardcore.
That's where Brendan Abbott was. I was there when Brendan Abbott was there.
The postcard bandit.
Yeah. That poor fucker. He's never getting out.
Yeah, is he still in?
He's still in, and he'll always be in. It's he never hurt anyone or killed anyone.
He was just an armed robber, wasn't he?
He's an armed robber.
Just an armed robber. Yeah.
he just shoved shotguns in people's
faces.
See,
that's very 1970s, isn't it? To be
it is. But
why is he never getting out?
Because he made dicks of them. Because when he was on the run,
he'd send him postcards.
Well, he'd send postcards of him cuddling other cops. You know, so he'd get photos with other cops, and so they had him.
And so, but yeah, right. I mean, I saw the telly movie.
And
but,
because when he was on the run, like, he's a genius too. Like, he's a smart guy. He made a uniform and a gun out of soap. I don't know what he made a uniform.
Is that how he escapes?
Yeah, made a uniform and carved a gun out of a soap and walked out the front door.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And but then he was on the run, and on the run he did a couple of robberies, but he did it in a lot of states. So he got done in Queensland. They threw the book at him. And once he finished, so he's doing the maximum time, and when he finishes that, which is coming up, he'll go to Western Australia where they'll throw the book at him, he'll do the maximum time.
So he'll never get out of jail.
Yeah, which is sad.
Did you meet him when you're in there?
No, no. He doesn't get to see people. He's locked down for most of the time. He's in the solitary for most of the time.
That would drive you mad.
It'd have to. He gets an hour of exercise out in the thing.
Yeah, right, in the yard. And what was the prison experience like for you?
Oh, it was. I didn't know I was going to prison. I didn't. And no, my lawyer.
Oh, your lawyer said no. You're not going.
You're not going to prison. What the best thing to do is don't fight it. Just plead guilty. You can fight it, but if you just plead guilty, they know what's happened. You've got no criminal record, and you're not wasting the court's time. So I did, and went in.
Yeah. Right. So they just take you away straight away, like
straight
in the movies.
Straight away, yeah. There's a bit of my show where it's a point I made, because I was kind of delirious, it's in court, and it's a whole show. It's
How
like
old
a
were
very
you?
Very boring, boring play. 34.
Yeah, it's young, really.
Yeah, and then the judge said, to my lawyer, he goes, oh, make no mistake, your client is going to prison today. And that's when it hit me, and it was like, oh fuck. Okay. That's it, and I went numb. And I stayed numb until I came out. And
did you have kids at that stage?
No, I didn't. Right, thank God. And I didn't have a girlfriend. That would be awful too.
And so when you went in, did you have to share a cell with someone? Or
I didn't have to share cells. One night I did. There was one night where I shared a cell. I mean, in the lockup, there's like fucking eight of us there. But once you get processed into the prison system.
Yeah, yeah.
It's there, but it's very scary. Like you know, when you're in a pub and you see a dude, and you just get a bad vibe. And
yes.
I've got to get away from him. There's 1,500 of those people just milling
yes.
around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're bored.
And they're bored. Yeah. And they're angry. And some of them, they're never getting out either. So even if they did top you,
they don't care really.
Well, it's not. They're going to lose. What's going to happen to them is they're going to lose television for a couple of months. That's what they're going to lose. They're not going to do any more time.
They're
going to die in prison. Yeah.
So if you were in that sort of prison, what was your day-to-day routine? Did they wake you up early?
No. Well, you've got musters. So every 4 hours they check on you. You've got to be counted.
Yeah.
And if you're sleeping, like, that's the one thing I got used to, is, like, I'd be sleeping, and then I'd look up, and there'd be three armed dudes and a Alsatian in my room. It's kind of,
right, yeah.
It doesn't, and never did I get used to it. Just a torch in your eye, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's like being in hospital.
Yeah, I'm a really light sleeper now.
Oh, yeah, you would be.
But then
they'd get you up at 8 and
prison itself is really boring. It's the majority of it is just drag time. I didn't realise that we have private prisons.
Yeah, in Australia there are. Yeah.
Owned by multi-billion-dollar corporations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Employed by the government to rehabilitate people, even though it's financially viable for them not to.
Yes.
So they don't really rehabilitate you. They don't really punish you. You're just in a waiting.
In a holding pattern, yeah.
I put movies on for you, and I always watch, like, when people complain about, like, hey, you got 20 years. That's nothing. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Drag a single mattress and a black and white TV into your bathroom and stay there for a weekend.
Yeah, see how you go. Know?
Yeah, see how you go. That's a long time.
Yeah, did it test your mental agility?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But
like, you've got creature comforts. I've heard people go, they got flat screen TVs. It's like, where the fuck do you get anything else these days?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They're only almost like little monitors.
Yes. But there's no internet or anything, is there?
No,
you don't get internet,
no phones. Not allowed the internet, phones.
Yeah,
they play movies.
Yeah, they play your movies.
They play movies. They've got these movies that go through.
Have you been back? Have you done any gigs in prison or?
No.
I did one, but
I wouldn't be allowed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not allowed to donate blood now.
Yeah, right. Have you seen that Jeff Ross special where he does a gig in a prison? You know, the American, he's that roasting comic guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I bet it is.
He goes to a prison and he sort of hangs out with them and just roasts them in the line at the food line. And
oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
He says stuff like, you know, in solitary, how do you get excited sexually? Do you look at like an insect and go, wow, look at the legs on that? That's kind of, he was very funny. But he was smart because he would do stuff. He would hang shit on them. Like, what did you do, mate? Blah, blah. And then you go, I know you guys, you've just made some mistakes in life. We could all do it. We could all end up in here. And they'd all clap him, you know. Like, yeah. And you're missing your kids. You're missing your partners.
Yeah.
So he was a smart operator. Oh, well, so all of this is in your festival.
It's all in my show. It's what happened, how I got in there. It's mostly getting into prison. Like, what happens in prison is pretty
boring.
Pretty boring.
Yeah.
Getting out. Getting in, getting out.
Do you think it changed you?
Oh, fucking oath. Yeah.
In what way?
Well, I lost everything.
Yeah.
I lost. And only because I didn't know I was... Because I was trying to keep it. I thought I was going to court, so I was keeping it on the hush.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
So I didn't let anyone know. So when I went to jail, I was living by myself.
You got a flat and stuff?
So I had a flat. I lost that. I just stopped paying rent. Didn't have it. I don't know their numbers. It's all on my phone, which I lose.
Yeah.
I had a car, which I was paying insurance on monthly. That got stolen while I was in. But not before I got parking tickets when the insurance ran out, so they knew it was uninsured. And so I got out. They left me with the repayments, thankfully, so I wasn't completely without anything. But so just starting again. And it made me realise, Jesus Christ, it's the littlest thing. It wasn't anything major, but the repercussions.
Huge.
And leaving the country, that rippled for a decade.
Yeah, it's
like
hard
it
to...
just kept... It was just hard to shake.
It's hard to go overseas, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not now for me. Because after 10 years, I don't even have to say... And if anyone gets... if we both get a police check, they'll be the same. You'll have no unspent convictions.
Yeah.
I'll have no unspent convictions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you could get a working with children check.
Oh, I definitely could.
To help the kids in the 40s.
It's only things like... Yeah, well, I mean, my crimes wouldn't stop me working with children.
No.
But it's, there's certain things that, look, if you have one of those crimes against, like, a sexual or a vicious crime against a child, that shit doesn't go away.
No, not at all.
Well, it does, but you don't have to tell people about it. If you go for a job like that and they ask for a police check...
It'll come up.
That'll come up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
What about the day you got released? Was it like the Blues Brothers? Was someone waiting for you?
My sister picked me up.
Oh, that's good. Would have been a good day, but you'd freak out, wouldn't you, a little bit?
Well, I didn't. It was like, as soon as I got out there, it was just like, oh, great, thank fuck, that's done.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, now let's move on.
Did you get a bit of, sort of a PTSD after, did you wake up occasionally, go, oh, fuck, I'm not inside anymore.
I was nervous in big, like, crowded places.
Yeah.
Because everyone in prison, like, they keep, you always keep an arm's length. So to have lots of, like, I went to a markets in Bondi.
Yeah, yeah.
And just got overwhelmed there pretty quickly.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And then down to the beach, and it was fine. But, well, I mean, that doesn't last.
No.
I wasn't institutionalized for 3 months, but,
God, imagine being in there for years.
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. Yeah. And I met some cool people in there. I got to see... I was close to this Aboriginal kid called Billy.
Yeah, right.
And his story, you just realise why they've gone that way. Like, his mum and dad were really particular on him being good.
Yeah, right.
Like, you do this, you do it. But from grade one, like, because they're country Queensland, and he'd be going to school with his little bag. He didn't have shoes. He was poor and all that sort of stuff. But he had his little bag. He's only grade one. And the cops would pull up out the front of school and go, hey, Billy, what have you stolen? What's in your bag?
Yeah, right.
And they'd look in his bag. And because that kind of bad boy wasn't cool until high school.
Yeah.
So he was, although he did nothing, he didn't get invited to parties, and he was always kind of on the outer. And he was just telling me, I was just like, oh, Jesus, that's...
And that all spiraled cops into crime.
Cops didn't even know my name.
Yeah. Well, same here.
So that's it. But they knew his uncles, and they knew that sort of stuff. And you know, look at Queensland Aboriginal police in the 70s.
Yeah,
there's a vicious. Great degree for a little Aboriginal boy. There's a big degree of fear in that too.
Of course,
they've heard stories. And amplified as they may be, but no less true in a lot of places.
Boy, oh boy. So it's all in the show. It's called
Judged. It's a lot funnier than that, by the way, though.
You've given the deeper angle here.
If you're thinking of going to prison or plan to go to prison, you need to see the show.
Yeah, okay. Good. You're with Chris Wainhouse here on The Debrief. We're driving home. We'll be back.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.
You're back on The Debrief with Chris Wainhouse, doing a show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival called Judged, about his time in the big house. But now, Chris, I asked everyone these questions.
Oh, okay,
what went well tonight, and why at the gig in your set? What went well?
I think telling those girls to shut the fuck up went well.
Well, they were talking, which was really annoying.
Non-stop.
Through everyone.
Yeah.
They would stop,
but then they'd go. But
so when you came on, I was emceeing. When you came on, they stopped, but then they started again.
Yeah. And it was, like, I normally try and wait for a break before I can address it. I don't want to do that during the gag.
Yeah, that's right.
You wreck the gag. And often they all stop at that point. But,
What didn't go well?
Telling girls off.
But they were giving you the finger.
They were giving me the finger. Yeah, it was like, you're the one. Being rude, and it was disturbing other people.
I hate to say it, but I don't want to sound like my parents, but they were ruining it for everyone.
They were ruining it for everyone.
Yeah, like, you know, people have come out for a night of comedy.
Yep.
So, what's his truck doing?
Yeah, I think he wants you to overtake him.
Oh, is that what he wants? Okay.
Yeah.
On the inside.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I think he didn't like it behind him like that.
Okay. Truckies.
So yeah.
Oh God, were there any organisational hazards that got in the way? Oh Jesus.
Is he thanking us or what? I don't know.
I don't know if he's thanking. I think it's like jewel.
We're in a major situation here. Wow.
Why is he doing that? Why is he high beaming us?
I don't know.
Does he know something we don't know? Are the cops around?
I don't know. No. I don't know.
Whatever, mate.
What were you saying?
Any organisational hazards get in the way? Like, it was the room set up?
I thought the sound was shit.
Yeah,
it was all bad. That outside area looked really good. I've heard it's great. The show was good.
Yeah.
I think they loved it, and they were running with everything.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of chatter at the left, a bit of dodgy sound.
How can we do better next time?
Do it outside.
Yeah, do it outside, because they have an outside area where they normally do it.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it. So.
And, just try and shut them down straight away.
Well, I said to the guy in charge, you got to talk to those girls. And,
he's got to work with them, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And then a kind of a bit of power. They can make it hard.
Well, anyhow, we're driving home now, and we've got a few hours to go.
Well, we do have a lot of hours, don't we? I've been up since 5.
Oh, God.
It's awful.
Well, have a nap if you want.
No, I'm okay.
You're okay? Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, and everyone, check out Chris's show.
Great, thank you.
In the festival.
Judged. WayneTix.com, W-A-I-N-T-I-X.
Got your own ticketing agency.
.com. It's just a website that links to my tri booking.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Chris Waynehouse, ladies and gentlemen, you're on Twitter and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm all over that. Yeah. Well, I haven't. I don't. Twitter's scary now. It's just so. Oh, good.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
So bitchy.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
But Instagram's nice.
Insta. Yeah, Insta's. Yeah.
I really like an Instagram because people either. They just like it.
Yeah.
They don't go, this is awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember Hughesy had a post on Twitter of him holding a giant Slurpee for Slurpee Day.
Yeah.
And it's like, Twitter's like, oh, fuck you seller. Fuck off, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then on Instagram, it's like, oh, that's great, Hughesy. I might get some. Yeah, awesome idea.
Oh, it's so... Yeah, Twitter's hard, especially when you're opinionated, too.
Yeah, and you are opinionated. It comes through in your stand-up, which is one of the great things about you. You got an opinion.
All right. Thank you for having me.
That's the debrief. Well, we'll be in the car for a few hours longer.